It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, June 21st. I'm Patricia Naft. Western Colorado is on the grip of a heat wave with temperatures passing 100 degrees in some areas. Andrew Lyons with the National Weather Service says a ridge of high pressure is camped out in the area.
So really what the gist is there's a really big area of high pressure centered over the Four Corners right now. And what that is doing is it's blocking any significant weather systems from moving through the area. And it's allowing a lot of sunshine to come in and heat up the earth, so we have that extreme heat.
He says it may feel oppressive. It's only a few degrees warmer than normal for June, and relief isn't around the corner.
So unfortunately, if you want the heat to go away, it's looking like it's going to at least last through the end of this week. Towards the weekend, there may be a quick break as we get kind of a stronger weather system that moves through. But after that, it actually looks to be rebuilding back in. So it looks like the heat is going to be here for a while.
Officials also warn outdoor enthusiasts that because of the high temperatures, river rapids are high and strong. Bob Brandel is the recently appointed head of the Colorado Department of Natural Resources. The department oversees everything from state parks and wildlife to oil and gas drilling, mining, and water conservation. State House reporter Benta Berkland sat down with Randall to discuss his priorities in his new role and the challenges ahead.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Previously, you'd spent 6 years as the deputy director of the Colorado Department of Natural Resources. What do you see as the number one issue facing the department currently?
Well, I think one of the most exciting things we get to work on is Colorado the Beautiful. This was an initiative announced by the governor, and it has the vision to ensure that within a decade, every Coloradan lives within 10 minutes of a park, trail, or an open space. And so this is an exciting opportunity to promote outdoor recreation, to conserve priority landscapes, and to work with youth and minorities in the outdoors.
Do you have a specific agenda for the next year or a focus in terms of kind of making your own mark as the head of the agency?
Well, I've been at DNR for a long time, and I've been involved in all of the policy work that we've done. One of my greatest goals in my tenure here will be to ensure that those gains endure. You know, we've done great work through the Parks and Wildlife merger, through oil and gas rulemaking, and the water plan, and I'm really vested in seeing those things succeed.
As you know, when it comes to oil and gas, very controversial, and then a lot of different opinions on that. The Colorado Supreme Court did rule unanimously that the fracking ban in Longmont and the moratorium in Fort Collins were invalid and violated state law. There is a segment of folks who don't want fracking at all or still want much more stringent regulations.
Well, honestly, I mean, I think this is one of the hardest issues that we deal with. The important thing to note is that these lawsuits concern bans and moratoria on oil and gas drilling in local jurisdictions. You know, those really are a minority position taken by local governments in the state. I think it's far more common if you look up and down the Front Range to see communities working with oil and gas operators and with the Oil and Gas Commission to ensure that their citizens are informed and heard on these things.
What's kind of the wiggle room do you see going forward?
Well, that's a fair question. I am extraordinarily proud of what we've done on oil and gas regulation during my tenure here at DNR. We've ensured that the regulations are responsive to concerns and are workable for everybody involved. And again, they serve as a model around the country and around the world.
A lot of the issues this department deals with, people are passionate about it, whether it's the public lands, water, oil and gas. Did that make you nervous stepping into this job, or do you like being in the middle of all that?
It actually makes me most excited about the job. You know, we are lucky to have passionate advocates on each side of every issue that we deal with. And our job really is to take those viewpoints into account, try to find common ground between them, and come up with solutions that enjoy the broadest possible support. Only in that way will we have policy solutions that hopefully will endure.
Late last year, the state released a comprehensive water plan. We haven't had a lot of water policy discussion at the state legislature yet. What do you think is the first step that needs to move forward there?
In looking at our long-term water supply needs, we've identified a $20 billion gap between the water infrastructure that we have today and to meet the municipal and industrial gap by 2050 to maintain the current infrastructure. The water plan commits us to investigating options to raise up to $100 million annually. That would result in $3 billion by 2050. And so we're looking at a variety of innovative funding options. At some point, we may have to think hard about going to the voters to authorize other revenue streams, like mill levy or a sales tax or bonds or a container fee. As with all of the state's other funding challenges, it's going to be difficult to educate the public and convince them this is a critical need. one of the biggest challenges we face is that most Coloradans are unaware of this long-term gap between what we have today and what we'll need in the future. So long as water comes out of their tap when they turn it on, they're pretty happy with the way things are. And so the water plan also places a big emphasis on outreach, on education, and on public engagement to identify and address gaps in water education.
Thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That was Bob Randall, the newly appointed executive director of the Colorado Department of Natural Resources. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
Under a new bill introduced in Congress last week, coal companies would no longer be allowed to just promise to pay for future mine cleanup. Inside Energy's Lee Patterson reports.
When coal companies get a permit to mine, they also have to put up a bond to cover the cost of cleaning up that land. But under something called self-bonding, companies can ensure future cleanup based only on their own financial strength. It costs little or nothing. North Dakota has around $200 million in self-bonds. Wyoming has around $2 billion. Wyoming is reviewing its self-bonding program. North Dakota regulators are not, for now. But as coal companies go bankrupt, the concern is that those costs could fall to the taxpayer. The bill, introduced by Washington Senator Maria Cantwell, would ban new self-bonds. Senator Cantwell explains the issue like this.
Well, you want anybody who's in business to have insurance, because if something happens, you want to know that you're going to be taken care of.
The bill would also phase out existing self-bonds, and in the case of a collateral bond, would require coal executives' salaries and bonuses to be included as collateral. For Inside Energy, I'm Lee Patterson.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.